This podcast is not intended as a substitute for professional help. If you or someone you know is facing difficulties, I advise you consult a psychologist. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Psych for Life with Dr. Amanda Ferguson. I'm your host, Dr. Amanda Ferguson. Today's episode is about burnout, overtime, and job security. What's fair and how to negotiate? Burnout and unpaid overtime are often major problems. And if this is the case, it's usually because there's a poor or unhealthy relationship between the worker and the organization. It's up to us as workers, but also the organization, to make sure these problems don't occur and to address them as soon as they really are occurring. So we need our resilience as workers, and the organization needs to provide resources. And we all need to be able to manage this. It's usually early in our career that we're learning how to manage burnout and overtime, and even negotiating pay rise. We often learn it the hard way, burning out or trying to learn what's fair and what's not, how to negotiate, how to organise time off in lieu of major overtime, or is in fact this organisational citizenship behaviour doing some extra overtime that actually is about climbing the corporate ladder or climbing the ladder in any organisation. In this episode, you'll learn how to manage problems of burnout and overtime, how to protect your job security, and how to approach conversations about time off, pay rise, and promotion. With the cost of living so high, so many people are saying yes to more hours, but how important is it for our mental health to set boundaries? Well, it's critical because a lack of boundary management, or what's known as demarcation in the workplace, is a major contributor to burnout. It can lead, of course, to mental illness, physical illness. Burnout at its worst can cause suicide. Boundaries that once helped us to avoid burnout have disappeared in many jobs. So it's really up to us now to manage our boundaries, our job demarcation. And of course, jobs and industries have different ways of doing this. Some jobs have set hours, like in a supermarket, a worker will clock on and clock off. And some are more flexible, especially the work from home hours. So it's harder to clock on and clock off, especially with erratic hours. But we need to keep track of these hours. We need to find other ways, more inventive, of clocking on and clocking off, of tracking our hours. And if we want to build our career, then organisational citizenship behaviours, that extra role activity, starting earlier for meetings, reading the company newsletter, being flexible for the workplace, is usually expected if you are going to progress in your career and in the organisation. Many of us now have 24-hour clocks or work organisations where the organisation doesn't switch off, and many of us are required to be available at any hour of the day. So not only is our work always accessible for most of us, we're also personally accessible via our phones, social media, and other communication platforms. Job security is about being employable, not just keeping our job. So a lot of us want to do these extra role activities, but we have to be entrepreneurial versus just trusting the organisation or HR or our boss. It's really up to us individually to manage our careers. And this is, if you like, our business, to manage our careers. We need to be good at problem solving. We need to be more adaptive. We need soft skills for the future. That is people management, self-management. These are suddenly more important now for our future than many other skills will be. We need to be savvy. We need to know how to work out what the right fit is for us. That is the right job, the right industry or profession. And once we've worked that out, it's a lot easier to actually be savvy, to thrive in the environment. For instance, if you find that IT is your best fit, or the corporate world, or a particular industry, it's easier to learn and to practice these soft skills in the right industry, the right organization. If it's human service work that's the right fit for you, being with the public, dealing with the public, then it will be easier for you to learn these skills, these soft skills, in the place that's right for you. Burnout is a breakdown of the relationship between the person and their workplace. The relationship involves obligations, demands, expectations, and hopes. And this breakdown typically happens over a long period of time, not quickly. So there's much opportunity for us to intervene and for the organization to become aware of the burnout problems if they're willing to intervene. Put simply, we expend energy, which we must restore from work. And that's called recovery. And most of the recovery from work happens away from work. If we don't recover from our work day, our work week, we're starting to burn out. Also, our values or our primary motivations for working need to be honoured. They are things like wanting to make a difference or to connect with people or to gain skills, to pursue ideas. And we need to feel we have agency and an impact on the world. These are the things we bring to the workplace and we aspire to gain from the work environment. And if this doesn't happen, then we tend to disengage, become exhausted and eventually cynical. And that's burnout. If it does happen, we're engaged and productive. Take, for example, a boss who's unwilling to look at new ideas or research findings, ways of doing things, or even our opinions. Take bullying or uncivil behaviour. These things lead to burnout. So many people are struggling with burnout. And so what are the signs and how can we manage it? Well, it results from chronic workplace stress that's not successfully managed. It's exhaustion, not being able to recover. It's mental distance, negativism or cynicism about our jobs, feeling depleted, a reduced sense of professional efficacy, and not being able to speak up in the organisation can predict this as well. If you want to know more about burnout, listen to my comprehensive episode on work burnout. We also know that many people struggle to ask for a pay rise, to even ask for time off in lieu of overtime spent, and to ask for a promotion. So what are some of the solutions for all of these issues? Well, most developed countries have guidelines or even legislation protecting workers and instructing bosses how to deal with these things. So find out what these might be in your country, your state, or your organisation. Are you entitled to time off in lieu of overtime? What is considered enough overtime to warrant time off in lieu versus organisational citizenship behaviour that's just expected that you will go the extra mile if you want to get ahead in your career, if you want to be seen as a good staff member? And how can you gauge if overtime is enough to get you that promotion? Is it worth spending the extra time? Is it going to lead to a promotion or a pay rise? All these things are things that we need to be savvy about in managing our jobs and our careers. And a lot of the management of our jobs and careers is now called crafting. So again, if you want to learn more about job crafting, listen to my episode on this. We are meant to be in charge of the ways that we shape our jobs and our careers now more than ever before. So these are soft skills that we all need to learn of how to negotiate in the workplace. But the psychological job contract, that is your relationship with your job and your organization and your boss, is in a high state of flux at the moment. The power turned towards the employee during the pandemic, but the power shifts back to the employer and it changes so fast. We can't just rely on legislation and guidelines to help us protect our own job. Boundaries are critical. From the beginning of a new job or a new position, set and manage expectations with your boss and your team. For example, if you're studying, if you have a special needs child, if you have a large family, if you have your own history of needs, let your boss and team be aware that these are the expectations you will have for hours that may be flexible or when you need to clock off. Many of us have what's known as fluid careers now, where we're moving from one career or industry into another and expecting to be able to make these lateral moves. If these are expectations that you're wanting to progress in a certain way, set the expectations with the organisation as quickly as possible, even in that job interview. Make sure you do have ways of clocking on and clocking off to set the boundaries of your job. If your hours are erratic intrinsically, keep track of the hours. Be prepared to rescope workloads, even redesigning your job if it's getting out of control, if you're feeling overworked, overloaded. Learn how to rescope with your boss. Learn how to do this with your team. Again, the soft skills that are needed. These are important career traits that we all need to learn. And it's all about communication, negotiation. Look for the win-win. Look for asserting yourself, which is direct, clear communication that's honest, realistic, aiming for that win-win adult-to-adult relationship. And it's appropriate, which is about picking the right timing and the right approach. Is it better done in person? Usually these things are. If there's a weekly meeting, is that the right context? What about our mental health? We all need to make ourselves accountable to our own work-life balance to recover from our work days. And that means we need to know personally what recharges us. Do you know if you're an introvert or an extrovert? Do you find that people recharge you? Being social after work recharges you, or on the weekends? Then you're an extrovert. It's about where you get your energy. If it's not people, you're an introvert. It's probably nature, music, art. So how do we approach these conversations about time off, pay rises and promotions? Well, it's usually dependent on the organisation, the size of the organisation, the type of culture, the relationships and the workplace itself. And usually we start with the normal channels of communication. So discussing these things are about playing to our strengths, our normal ways of communicating with our boss, for instance. If you have a confident, assertive, good relationship with your boss, you're probably already regularly discussing these things and planning them and ways forward based on performance reviews. If you feel more timid or you feel overlooked, it may be best to send an email asking for a time slot in your boss's diary to discuss pay and performance. Research comparative jobs and salaries so you're aware of what you should be expecting. And if you're knocked back, be ready to ask why, take notes, have evidence with you that you think needs to be put for a pay rise, and perhaps that you would leave with your boss on how the performance and your job description shows and adds value to the organisation. If it is a no about a pay rise or performance review, then ask what's needed and for a review date where you can sit and discuss this again. Consider whether this seems like a positive conversation. Do you feel relatively confident about the conversation and about your prospects? If not, start looking for another job. You might seek advice from others in the team or outside the team, finding mentors and coaches, even within or outside the organisation, is a very helpful thing, especially early in a career or midway in a career. Some people might feel so inhibited that they want to take a companion with them to a meeting. In a good workplace, that should be absolutely allowed. Some of the research says that most bosses will say yes to a pay rise, but only if an employee has the courage to ask. And in fact, almost half of us will leave instead of asking for a pay rise. If you're finding it just too personal, emotional, or fearful, then listen to my episode with guest Jennifer Newrick on reasons why your childhood patterns roll into business. And if you want to uncover and resolve these issues, get a copy of my book, Life Works, Rediscover Yourself and Transform Your Relationships, available on Booktopia. And what about managing burnout? Well, remember, resilience is only your side of the relationship with your organisation. The organisation is meant to provide enough resources. So reach out for help if needed from your boss, from your team and your organisation. Having simple conversations is so important to alert your boss that you might feel you're burning out. And finally, for employers, how can they set healthy expectations for their employees? Well, make it realistic and honest. Be transparent from the beginning about the job description and in the interview. And if there's a potential for lots of overtime or changes, make this part of your psychological job contract or your initial agreement with your employer. For instance, if it's a high intensity environment with high performance required at a high level, let the candidate know. Know and express the difference between what's expected for good organisational citizenship behaviour and where it's actually going to turn into burnout instead. Ask your employees if they're coping with the workload, if they need more time or resources, and keep up those discussions. Promote good work-home demarcation and flexibility and reasonable hours. Provide reasonable time off in lieu to catch up after excessive overtime. And make staff take this time off in lieu rather than accumulating it. Remember, in managing burnout, we need to recover from each workday. We need reasonable hours and the resources for this. For our personal management of burnout, resilience is the most important requirement. And that's a combination of being able to regulate or manage ourselves and being socially competent. And again, these life skills, these soft skills, are critical for the future. So with social competency, it's about asserting ourselves. It's that good, healthy, harmonious work passion. Rather than being obsessive in our passion, that's part of our self-management, being in a state of flow at least some of the time when we're working and checking any creeping burnout that might be building. Remember, job security is about us being employable, not just keeping our job. And that means we have to be entrepreneurial in managing our jobs and our careers. We can't just trust an organization or a boss or even HR to do this. It's our business, and being more adaptive and aware, being able to manage ourselves and negotiate in the workplace is more important now than ever and will be in the future. We need to be savvy. We need to find the right fit for us where we feel engaged. We love and like our work, our organization, our industry. And if you're in the right place, you'll find it easier to develop these skills and practice them. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Plus, don't forget you can access all of the resources mentioned in today's podcast via the show notes. Is there a pressing issue or topic you'd like me to discuss? Head to my Instagram at @dramandaferguson and send me a DM. I love hearing from my listeners. If anything discussed in this podcast has caused you concern or distress, contact your general practitioner or health provider. To locate a psychologist in your area, call the Australian Psychological Society and locate Find a Psychologist service on 1800 333 497 or visit www.findapsychologist.org.au. If you or someone you know is in crisis, Lifeline is available 24/7 on 13 11 14 and Kids Helpline, again 24/7 on 1800 55 1800, and both are free of charge. To find out more about me, please visit my website, dramandaferguson.com.au. You can find the link in my show notes. The opinions expressed by guests in these podcasts aren't necessarily shared by me.